Welcome to Outside Source Football, your inside look at the NFL. Listen to the latest predictions and happenings from the season with your hosts, Evan Mick and Gabriel Vondre. Here they are now.
Hello and welcome to Outside Source Football on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM with Evan Mick.
And Gabriel Vondre.
And that's it today.
And a moment of silence for
Joseph
Doherty. He's Joseph fine. He just has more important things to do.
He doesn't care about us that much this week.
I mean, the audacity, you know, biochem major.
He's smart or something.
With med school
dream. He's going to go be a doctor.
He's already gotten into med school
and
places.
He thinks he's better than us because we're sports guys?
I look at that and I think, who wants a bunch of letters after their name?
That's what I'm saying.
You know, sounds kind of boring to me. Big research projects, getting a bunch of funding.
Yeah,
lame. Who wants to do that?
Not fun.
Egghead. Anyway.
We got to move on.
Let's talk about the combine.
The combine.
Let's talk about guys running and jumping. Things that are actually important.
Yeah, because that's what's important in football is how fast you can run a 40-yard dash.
Yep. If you do well at the combine, that means you're going to make it in the NFL.
It's
100%.
100% hit
guaranteed.
Rate. John Ross.
Nobody has ever had a great combine and then not panned out in the NFL.
100%.
It just doesn't happen.
Exactly. So you've got a list of guys.
Yeah, I got some guys that popped. Texas guys, it was a great weekend for the University of Texas. Xavier Worthy, of course, breaks the 40 record, ran a 4.21. I think he can be more than just a speed guy. I know maybe you haven't watched as much of him yet, but you're not super high on him.
Just Mitchell so far.
You just think maybe he's only a speed guy. A.D. Mitchell had a great day, he's not as big as DK Metcalf, but Metcalf kind of numbers, ran 4.35. Great vert, what else is there? Broad jump. I mean, just tested really well for a guy as big as he is. Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat, the two defensive tackles, very different types. Murphy looked as a little bit undersized. He's just under 300 pounds, but ran really well. Great quickness, good power, and then Sweat is just a mountain of a man. He's 366 pounds and ran 5.27, which I don't know how the math works, but apparently that's more impressive than just about anything else that happened at the combine to be 366 pounds running 5.27.
Yeah, apparently that was like a
I don't know
4.17 in DB. I don't know how that measure works.
I don't know how the math's there, but I'll believe what they tell me.
Whatever, those are the experts.
Another Braden Fisk, a Florida State defensive tackle. I don't know a lot about Florida State. I know they had a really good season this year and then had the whole, you know,
quarterback injury,
the injury, and then not getting into the playoff, and they were very upset about that. So it was to see some of their guys showing out, it made sense. It's like, okay, well, that's why that team was undefeated. They had some guys, and yeah, Fisk was one of them that, especially for as big as he is as a defensive tackle, I thought moved really well. The edge guys seem to be always the ones that show
crazy
up because they're just crazy athletes,
long legs, long arms. I mean, yeah. That's what they're built for.
They're just the freaks.
For testing.
The athletic freaks of the draft. And so, yeah, Chop Robinson, Penn State guy, had a big day. Dallas Turner from Alabama also had a big day. I think both of them were already pretty high on guys' boards and only helped themselves out with what they did at the combine. Quinyon Mitchell, corner, small school
corner,
from Toledo, ran really well. I think he had the best 40 among the defensive backs, or he was near the top.
He was really close.
He ran like 4.33, and then I think that was it. I wrote down Theo Johnson, but I think they were just making a big deal because he wore a quarterback wristband that told him what his warm-up needed to be. I don't know that he actually, I think he had a decent combine, but I think that was where the buzz
so
was.
So let's talk about, you want to hear my opinion on the combine?
Sure, Evan.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Of course.
Because you already
have to. Yeah. So I think that the combine is good for guys who are like fifth, sixth rounders, and maybe you move them up to fourth or third rounders because they test really well. They have really good numbers. So it's like a potential thing. Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not super into the combine as far as what it shows. Cause I mean, fastest 40 yard dash up until this year was John Ross. And we saw how he panned out in the NFL. Didn't. Saw a couple of years ago. As thankful as I am that the Jags took Trayvon Walker as a Lions fan, I thought it was really, really dumb because there were two edge rushers who were pretty clearly better than him in that class and who were supposed to go, you know, really high up there. And then a guy who, yeah, Trayvon Walker is a good NFL player, but going number one overall.
Is he a first overall pick?
No. And it was
probably
really,
hasn't had that impact yet.
No. And he hadn't had that impact in college either. Mm-hmm. It was just his, he had the best testing numbers.
Yep.
And so teams look at that. I think teams look into it a little bit too much in that early round when it's like they've already hit like their, and quarterbacks testing numbers. I mean, the running is important, but the quarterback throwing is like, the pro day too.
It's hard to get anything from throwing at the combine, which is why a lot of them don't do it.
Yeah.
And so, Caleb Williams didn't throw. Daniels didn't throw. May didn't throw.
I don't blame them.
The top three guys didn't throw. And I mean, I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings about it.
It doesn't. I don't think it's necessary. I don't disagree that throwing
doesn't
for them
so
is,
much because yeah, it's just sort of a, I mean, yeah, you're throwing to guys you've never worked with. And so obviously the timing is going to be off. And so for them, I'm sure they have agents and people and everybody telling them, look, it doesn't do you any good to go out there. Because if you go out there and you make all the throws, then everybody says, well, okay, you're supposed to do that. You're throwing on air. And if you go out and miss some throws, and then all of a sudden it's a problem and there's questions and yeah. You know, money's involved and with draft position. And is it, you know, it's not worth it to go out there and mess it up when you already know you're going to be a top three pick.
Although I will say, I saw a lot of media hate from Caleb Williams, and I feel kind of bad because like he answered some questions in kind of a questionable way. Like when they asked him about, well, what if you're not number one? He's like, oh, I know I'll be number one. Like, sure, that's not how you're supposed to answer, but at the same time,
well, I mean, it shows he's got a lot of confidence.
He got a lot of confidence,
which I think everybody already knows he's a very confident guy.
So I don't know. I think that he got a little bit of unnecessary hate for that.
Well, I think it was really tough when, you know, he walks into that, I think it was his first press conference, you know, and says good morning, and the first question is, are you afraid to compete? Like, that was a bit extreme.
Yeah,
I mean,
that
just kind of going right at him. Like, it's, I don't think it, and the guys who did throw, like, that is their, that's their answer to the question, like, any chance to compete, I can come out, I want to come out and do it, which, yeah, it's great. But do I think that Jaden Daniels and Drake May and Caleb Williams are afraid to compete?
No.
And that's the reason they didn't? No, I don't think that's the reason they didn't throw and didn't test the combine. I was, from a selfish standpoint, I wanted to see Jaden Daniels run a 40 just because I'm curious to see how fast he is, because he looks so fast on tape and in games. It would have been fun to see him run a 40. I don't know that
I wish more guys would run the 5.10.5.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
It's probably a better indicator of...
Or the L drill, but I'd say... Or what do they call it? Three cone drill there?
I think they call it, yeah.
Yeah, the three cone drill.
Or something like that.
But I would rather see guys run... I would say especially the 5.10.5, because I think that's way more important than the 40 is in an NFL game.
The 40 is kind of an antiquated thing.
It's a little bit of a show now.
Yeah, and because it doesn't translate super well, and also we have the technology now to, you know, to track guys' speed during games. So the NFL teams have all this information. They can go back and see, okay, what's the top speed that a guy is actually hitting in games, and the top guy, the most consistent one, was Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers is number one coming out. Like, he's consistently hits the highest speeds.
Yeah.
And then Xavier Worthy is second after that. So it's not like Xavier Worthy is a guy that can run a great 40, but that doesn't show up in the games. It does. I mean, you see that speed, but it just, you know, just because you run a great 40, it doesn't mean
you're a great NFL
player. All it means is that, yeah, you have good straight line speed.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you have a great start, or maybe you're better in that, you know, the next 20 yards phase. But I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's a little bit silly, but I think it's, at this point, it's almost like a tradition in the NFL that we got to go out and get your 40.
Yeah. I don't hate that the combine happened. I still enjoy.
And I mean, let's be honest. We had some great moments at the combine. Like when Xavier Worthy broke the record, like
that must've been pretty darn
cool for him being, you know, you have a crowd there, like, because the combine used to be a closed door thing. All that was there were scouts and coaches, and so now it's open to the public. You got people in that building. I even think that played a factor in his case breaking that record. There's probably a little bit of motivation. The crowd gets you going. You're like, okay, this is a little bit of a show now. I got people watching, and then yeah, you see him break the record, and the crowd goes crazy. Or even like Joe Milton throwing
the bomb,
70-yard bomb, like just to show off and show everybody, like, yeah, that's right, I can throw the ball further than anybody else in this stadium. And I don't know where Joe Milton will be drafted. I think he'll get drafted just because he's so talented, but he's certainly not in anybody's top five, probably for most people not even in their top 10 quarterbacks, but certainly a talent. And like, that is just cool. I mean, it's almost like the Olympics to just go out there and watch guys that are some of the best athletes in the world just show off.
Yeah, speaking
for a little
of,
while.
Speaking of the Olympics, one last thing, and then we'll move on to the tagged and cut players and or to be cut players. Usain Bolt is not, or Xavier Worthy is not faster than Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt ran his 4.22 in sweatpants and tennis shoes. And I mean, he was still like moving fast and he still like warmed up. Like it wasn't like he was walking a 4.22.
No.
But he could go fast.
But let's not act like
Xavier
like
Worthy,
Xavier
is,
Worthy
it,
is faster than
is faster than Usain Bolt. Yeah. So
well, we saw a little bit of that when DK Metcalf ran as well as he did and hit, you know, certain numbers in games and then went and tried, you know, did the Olympic trials.
Did the Olympics.
And he did fine. I mean, he held his own. He wasn't embarrassed or anything, but
it wasn't.
He was not
number one.
Not top.
No.
Yeah. All of a sudden,
he wasn't
dominating. You look at Olympic athletes and you're like, okay, there's.
Never
there's,
mind.
There's kind of another level to this thing.
So you're listening to Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM, Outside Source Football. Moving on to tagged players. So player number one that's tagged. Well, I don't know. I have a random list. T. Higgins from the Bengals. So. Yep.
We've known about that one.
We've known about that one for a while, but we never really talked about it. Do we think that he'll be on the Bengals next year?
I think so.
Of course, this is all speculation.
This is all speculation.
Which is the interesting part about kind of today.
In talking to my sources,
we're outside source football. We don't have any sources.
We don't have any inside sources, unfortunately.
That's why we are outside source football.
I would say I have a gut feeling that, yes, he will be back just because... I don't know. Joe Burrow likes him. He's a huge part of that offense when he's healthy. And when you have everybody there healthy with him, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. So I think he'll be back and he'll, you know, play out this year. We'll see what happens after that. But I mean, it's certainly within the realm of possibility that they try to trade him. See what they can get on a tag and trade a guy. That's still an option.
Yeah. I think one thing to keep in mind now is, yeah, all these guys got tagged, but the cap limit went up $30 million this year instead of the usual like $10 million or whatever.
Yeah.
And so now they have money to pay these guys.
Yeah, teams have a lot more space.
Like before when you couldn't have paid T. Higgins and now you have an extra $20 million and it's like that's more than enough to pay him. You know, you go from $5 million to $25 million, you're like, oh, well that's easy.
Not to mention your big quarterback contracts don't look as bad now because all of a sudden you're comparing it to a different salary cap. The numbers are different. And so, I'm sure the Bengals are happy that they got that deal done with Joe Burrow when they did, because
right now,
the longer he's on that deal, the better it looks. And the more the salary cap's going to go up and the more space you're still going to get. The Chiefs are basically getting away with robbery right now with the Mahomes deal to the point where I think I heard rumors that they may even go in and restructure it to pay him more, because they're getting so much of a hometown discount. And I mean, he signed like a 10-year deal, which is unheard of, but the rich get richer there.
Yeah. Michael Pittman also got tagged. So that was,
so
Michael Pittman got tagged.
Okay. Some of these are news to me.
See,
we decided
to surprise Gabriel.
We're going to surprise me.
So Michael Pittman got tagged. I think that he'll stay there because I think that they don't have Josh Downs is a good player, but he's not a wide receiver one and definitely not a wide receiver one yet. And when you have Anthony Richardson, who is kind of on that less accurate side of the ball, more of a running quarterback.
Well, just unproven.
Unproven, at least.
You want to try to give him as many weapons and make things as easy
and I would
for
say
him as you can.
A guy with such big size, just a big target for him to find.
It's nice to have Michael Pittman, who maybe you miss a pass high, he can go up and get it. The other thing about with these receivers, though, we got to take into account is how strong this draft class is. I know you don't believe that seven guys will go in the first round. But there are people out there saying that seven receivers could go in the first round. I don't know if it'll be that many, but it's going to be a lot. There's even outside of the top, you know, three or four guys, those top three guys, especially, you know, Harrison, Neighbors, and Odunze, who are going to go,
I think, high
in the first round.
Top 12.
There's a lot of really good depth in this class throughout. I mean, I just talked about Worthy and Mitchell and Worthy. I don't know about Worthy. People might fall in love with the 40 and find a reason to take him in the first round. But I think
the thing is one team has to fall in love with it.
Yeah.
It's not that everybody has to be in agreement. This isn't a voting thing.
No.
Only one team has to fall in love with it.
I know this. If Al Davis was still alive, Xavier Worthy is not getting out of the first round. No way. But A.D. Mitchell, I think is definitely worthy of a first round pick and might go late first round.
He's close up there
to one of those better teams. I mean, Kansas City comes to mind right away as a team that would
need a wide receiver,
would want him. But it's a deep receiver class, and I, you know, teams are going to have to factor that in when they're making long term decision on these receivers, whether or not they're going to pay them, or like in the Bengals' case, you try to do a sign and trade because you know that, hey, there's a lot of talent coming up, and maybe we can take a receiver in the second round, third round, and we can get a guy that we feel like will contribute to our offense as a rookie.
So the next guy I got on the list is Josh Allen from Jacksonville.
Edge Josh Allen.
So Josh Allen did get tagged, which I think it's big that he got tagged, and maybe bigger news that Calvin Ridley didn't. Because if Calvin Ridley would have got re-signed or tagged, Jacksonville would have had to give up a second-round pick to the Falcons, which is such a bizarre thing, because second-round picks are extremely valuable.
That's so expensive.
Like, putting that kind of thing on a guy getting re-signed is, I don't know, that's kind of crazy to me.
You got to look at that trade and everything in totality there. Calvin Ridley was a first-round pick, right?
I think so.
He was a first-round pick. He'd had some mild to, you know, pretty substantial success with the Falcons, had some really good
seasons.
Yeah,
that first year
there.
Was really good.
Yep. And then he gets suspended for gambling. Like, that's a weird thing. It wasn't an injury. That wasn't the reason that he didn't play for a year. And so Jacksonville basically takes a chance on a guy that's super talented, pair him with their young quarterback, think that this should make sense. And if Ridley goes out last year and has a wide receiver one kind of season where he has 1,500 yards and a bunch of touchdowns, then a second round pick makes sense, right? Because you're getting a first round talent and a guy that who's still young and you think you're going to get a lot of years out of. But that didn't happen really in Jacksonville last year. I don't know what his numbers at the end of the season were.
Yeah,
but
not pretty.
The chemistry was never there. You know, I remember in the beginning of the season talking about, oh, they just got to get on the same page. Just wait till they get on the same page.
And then like, they never did.
They never got on the same page. And
yeah, we talked about that pretty much all year. I think I mentioned that like every week.
It was a weird thing that, yeah, you have this super talented receiver in Calvin Ridley and a good quarterback, young, talented quarterback in Trevor Lawrence that we all kind of thought was going to take another step this year, instead took a step back a little bit. And yeah, is Ridley worth a second round pick after the season that he just had? No, I wouldn't sign him to a long extension based on what I saw last year.
Moving on to Brian Burns. Brian Burns got franchise tag. So I think this is actually, I don't think he'll want to play for Carolina. I think
the Panthers will just never let Burns go.
I'm pretty sure that he does not want to go back. And I think that if he's going to go back on a long contract, that I don't think he's the kind of guy to sit out, because I haven't heard anything or like any media stuff about him sitting out, at least not yet. We were also pretty far away from the season. But I think that the thing is, he'll be like, I'm requesting a trade, and the Panthers will be like, either we're going to pay you the most money a defensive end has ever going to get, and then we're going to re-sign you, or they're going to be forced to give him a trade.
I don't think I'll ever quite understand that situation.
No.
It seems like any other team would see it and obviously say, yeah, we need draft picks.
We need to trade him away.
We need to trade this guy for draft picks. We're not in a position to compete right now.
And maybe they will.
He's a really good edge, you know, defensive end player. Not the best in the NFL. I mean, I wouldn't say
top 10.
He's top, yeah, an excellent player, but it's not like I said, it's not like you're competing right now. And there's no way that they can afford to pay that much for that guy when he's worth more to them as a piece to get more draft picks, especially considering
they don't have a first rounder this year.
You gave up so many draft picks for Bryce Young, and then you were so bad last year that you still had the first overall pick and you don't even have it to use.
Crazy,
you know,
situation.
Like you're in a horror. That is the worst case scenario.
That is
what just went down for them. You give up everything for the quarterback, you get the quarterback, and then you're even worse the next year.
And then they have the greatest quarterback prospect who could probably be traded for 3 first round picks or 4.
Yeah.
And you don't have
Caleb
that pick to even do anything
Caleb
with.
Williams. Oh, and the quarterback that was taken after your guy
just had
one of the best rookie seasons
yeah,
the quarterback has ever had.
I don't think that could have been
it's hard
much worse
to be a Panthers fan
wow.
right now.
Rip Gordy.
Shout out Gordy. He's a stronger man than I am. And I'm a Raiders fan.
Poor guy.
That's tough. But it just, it makes all the sense in the world to me to move on from Brian Burns and get as much as you can for him. Do you, yeah, I mean,
I agree. Is no, that, I 100%
that's
agree.
Still in the
He's
cards.
Worth more as the, yeah, it's still in, it's totally still in the cards.
Okay. For Panthers fans everywhere, and for the sake of that organization, I hope they do that. But I wouldn't put a lot of faith in
Panthers organization right now.
Ownership there. He's wow. He's kind of taken the title as the new Dan Snyder in the NFL, which is not something you want. But
up next, we got Justin Madubuike, Ravens defensive lineman, getting tagged. I think they'll re-sign him. I think that was a big deal for them because of how many sacks he got. Like, he was their leader in sacks pretty clearly. Although they didn't tag Patrick Queen, so they decided that whatever his name is more important to them
I love,
than Patrick
I love,
Queen.
I love watching you try to work through names.
It's rough. It is. It's never fun.
It's like watching Picasso at work. It's great. Yeah, we didn't talk about him nearly enough this year.
No, because he kind of went under the radar for everybody.
My focus was never really on the Ravens. You know, during the season, I'm so hyper-focused on the Raiders, and the Ravens just continued to win
and
every week.
As a team, when I was watching them, I wasn't watching their defensive line.
Yeah.
I was
even though as a unit, they were
secondary,
really solid.
Yeah, as a unit, they were
and
solid.
And he was probably the most impactful player
he was
on that defensive line this year. So did not get nearly enough love
from us
this year. And we apologize for that.
We're sorry, Justin.
Because
I don't know your last name.
We'll do better going forward. Yeah, it was really the only reason that we didn't do it was because we looked at the name and we're like, well, Evan, he's never going to be able to get that out. So we can't talk about that. But I think he'll stay there. He's still relatively young. I think he's about 27.
He's younger.
So yeah, he's got plenty of good years left. So
yeah,
it makes sense for the Ravens to keep him.
Thank you for listening to Outside Source Football on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM. We'll be back after this short break. Hello and welcome back to Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM, Outside Source Football. Talking about some players who've been tagged. So
off-season stuff.
Yeah. A lot of speculation
It's the speculation.
It's not as much
time.
Review.
The league year hasn't started yet. The new league year, I believe, starts March 13th or 14th.
Yeah. So
it's always during spring
break. Up next, we're going to talk about how the Bears are going to trade away first overall pick for 12 first round picks and then see what they can do with them.
That would make sense.
See if they can get enough. See, I heard some speculation, and this is what happens during the offseason.
Oh, it's great. Especially concerning the draft. I love the draft rumors. The draft rumors are always fun. But what rumor do you have?
I heard a rumor that the Bears might trade back from this first overall pick to get more picks for next year to see if eventually they can have all the picks for the first round in one draft.
Yeah.
So they can draft 1 through 32.
Kind of the old Madden tactic.
Yeah.
Well, I heard this. So I think it sounded like they were all set to take Caleb Williams, and then his Xbox Live chat from middle school, the transcripts got leaked. And apparently there's some horrendous stuff in there.
So now,
and they don't think he's fit to play in Chicago. And so now they're willing to give up. They're listening to offers now because,
well, they're not going to give up the first overall pick.
They're not sold on Caleb Williams.
No, but they're not going to give up the first overall pick. They're clearly going to draft JJ McCarthy.
Yes.
Because that's exactly
because
what
Harbaugh
wants them to do.
Jim Harbaugh said he was the best player in the draft, and Harbaugh has ties to the Bears. So even though he's coaching the Chargers now, he still has a lot of pull in Chicago.
And
so what Jim Harbaugh says goes.
He just won a national championship.
Exactly.
And the Bears never won anything.
No, never.
So
not since Jim Harbaugh was their quarterback.
Exactly.
So
gotta love the offseason.
You gotta love the offseason. It's great.
So actually, we are talking about the Bears though next. Jalen Johnson got tagged. I think that was... I've never really known a lot about Jalen Johnson because the struggle is...
the defensive back, right?
Yeah, he's...
corner?
He had quite a few interceptions this year. I know he's a good player. The question is always how good with corners, because for a player like him, their defensive line up until this year was so bad that it didn't really matter how good you were for the first 3 seconds because the quarterback could stand there for a while. And especially against a team like Green Bay, where they'd top three offensive line, Aaron Rodgers would literally just wait it out until Devontae Adams beat him. So
yeah,
I think it's tough. I think he is a really good player, borderline top 10 corner. So, I don't hate the move. I think that he'll end up re-signing with the Bears. Bears are trying to keep together all the pieces that they had last year.
Yeah, the Bears are, they got to try to win now, right? This fan base is tired of the rebuilding mode, and they did something smart last year when they got the Panthers' first round pick.
And now's your opportunity to jump on it.
You were a 7-10 team last year, and I think they feel like maybe they're a quarterback away. At least that's what they're going to tell themselves. And assuming they draft Caleb Williams, you know, yeah, they think that's going to fix all their issues. Like Justin Fields was the only problem. They have some more problems on offense, particularly
line,
offensive line.
Receiver, and, other than DJ Moore.
Yeah, they could use some more
Cole
weapons
Komet's
over there.
Okay.
He's a good tight end. But
running backs, actually.
Either way, really like you said, they're not trying to rebuild this even more. They don't want to get rid of the good players that they have. They were aggressive at the trade deadline. They went out and got Montez Sweat. Yeah, edge player. You spent a second round pick on him. So that's your second round pick this year. You're looking for guys to step in and contribute and be impactful right away. So yeah, that makes sense that they don't want to let Johnson get away.
Le'Jarius Sneed of the Chiefs has gotten franchise tagged.
They did tag Sneed.
He's allowed to go seek a trade.
I did see that.
So
that was a couple days ago. Yeah, I remember that one.
They're pushing him out to seek a trade. A lot of people think value is second round pick. I think it's a good move for like the team like the Lions. Go out and get a corner, and then you don't have to worry about drafting a guy who might boom or bust, and then you have that secondary player who's like, you already know that this is your guy, and you can go out in the draft and you can worry about other positions, especially because you still have a first round pick if you're giving up a second.
Yeah.
Then you can go after maybe an edge player, or I don't even know what else. So good all around team that's all we need.
I guess for the Raiders' sake, yeah, go ahead and get Le'Jarius Sneed out of the division. That's fine by me. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Corner's such a weird one because I feel like there's a lot of examples in history of guys sort of making a name for themselves in a place and then taking a big free agent offer from somebody else and then going there and it doesn't work out right away. Like, I'm reaching back here a little bit, but that was Nnamdi Asamoah with the Raiders. I don't even know if you know who that was, but he was an all-pro corner.
That's
with
just a whole bunch of syllables to me.
All-pro corner with the Raiders for a number of years. Left, took a big free agent contract with the Eagles. It did not work. It was a total flop. Josh Norman, that happened.
That one, I remember that one.
Good, you know, good season with the Panthers, turns it into a big contract, and it doesn't really work out. So,
I mean, Cam Sutton's actually a recent, I mean, I know he's not a top, like, but he got worse.
Yeah,
got worse when he changed
teams. I think
teams.
Just so much about that position is the fit. Like, do you fit in
Depending
the defense
on,
that you're going into?
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe he thrived in Kansas City with, you know, Spagnuolo and that system and those players
and great
and that,
defensive line.
That defensive line, like, yeah, it's probably a little bit easier to play corner there. Will he be successful somewhere else? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, like Cam Sutton, I mean, playing with TJ Watt and Cameron Hayward makes your job a lot easier as a corner.
And for the Chiefs, I think you're willing to let him walk because they've proven that they can draft really well.
Yeah.
And
even in a corner, I mean, especially.
Yeah.
Their defensive backs this year were probably the best.
They've shown that, yeah, they trust their scouting department. They trust their guys and they trust that they can replace him. And so, yeah, if they can get some pieces for Le'Jarius Sneed and then let him go, they're thinking, well, yeah, let him go because we'll find his replacement.
We'll find with the second round pick.
Yeah, we'll find his replacement in the draft. So probably be a win-win for both sides.
It's also, from what I've heard, like I said, I haven't watched the corners either. It's also a pretty good corner class. I mean, I know McKinstry is a little bit banged up right now, but he's a good player out of Alabama. I watched a little bit of him. I've heard a lot about Nate Wiggins, and I know that Clemson had one of the best defenses in college football. So
Wiggins ran great at the combine. He was very thin guy. But Quinyon Mitchell, we already mentioned, had a good Who's the other Alabama cornerback?
I don't know. I just remember McKinstry.
Tarion.
I told you I haven't watched corners yet. So
okay, I think Tarion Armstead is the name, but he's the other Alabama quarterback that's projected to go pretty high, probably a first round pick.
Antoine Winfield Jr., other guy who got franchise tagged. So the Bucs tagging their all-pro safety, which makes sense. I mean, he's an all-pro guy. I think the Bucs are another team that it's like they're in a really weird position because they're in a position to be a borderline playoff team. And if you let a guy like this walk, you're pretty clearly not a playoff team. But if you let a guy like this walk or if you trade him away, then maybe you get some draft picks and maybe you have that potential to be a Super Bowl contender. But I don't know. I think that they're in a pretty awkward spot.
They are because they weren't great last year.
No, they
weren't.
And then they made a playoff run, quote unquote, because they beat the Eagles that were absolutely falling apart. And people were like, oh, Baker, so great. Which he played fine last year.
Yeah.
He was okay, but he was not a top 10 quarterback. Well, and now you're in such a weird position.
That's the other thing that this tag means. That, well, yeah, Baker Mayfield is not being tagged, obviously, right? They re-signed Mike Evans. I'm sure that's probably on your list. We'll get to that. But yeah, they've able to work out a deal with Mike Evans. That's great. Love to see it. And you bring back Mike Evans. That's a move that obviously helps you as far as negotiating with Baker Mayfield, because if Mike Evans is gone, it's hard to go to Baker Mayfield and work out any kind of contract, because he's going to say, where the heck is my number one receiver?
Where's the guy I can just toss
it up to? They already have Evans back. I think there's interest on both sides between Mayfield and the Buccaneers to get a deal done, but he's not tagged. So Mayfield is going to be allowed to talk to other teams, and I'm sure he will. It'd be stupid of him not to go see what he can get on the open market after having probably his best season as a pro.
Yeah, I think his best season.
And there's a lot of quarterback needy teams out there, so he, at the very least, he can drive up his value a little bit and get a better contract from Tampa Bay. But I agree that as a team, they're in a weird spot, because if they bring everybody back, I look at them and I see 10 wins as a ceiling. I think this team kind of close to maxed out last year, going 9-8, winning the weakest division in football. You get a playoff win because, you know, the Philadelphia thing was weird. I mean, most of the years, I don't see Tampa Bay winning, that team winning a playoff game. But you go up against Philly, who is just totally falling apart. You get a win there. And they played the Lions close, but a lot of teams played the Lions close.
Yeah, the Lions.
Because the Lions defense wasn't very good at a lot of the time.
Especially the end of the year.
And so, yeah, I feel, I don't know, it's strange. It's like, yeah, they want to keep it together because there's some potential
there. They made a playoff.
But
I don't think it's there.
I don't know that you can honestly look at this team and call them a contender or anything more than a wild card or a team that, yeah, can maybe win the NFC South, just because the NFC South is so weak.
Yeah. Up next, Kyle Duggar, who is a safety for the New England Patriots. He's a pretty good player.
Was he on 19 Kids and Counting?
He's a pretty good
show? No.
Nobody knows what that show is except you.
Well, it was a thing. The Duggar family.
Maybe my grandpa would.
They fell out of favor in the media because there were some bad things going on in the family. But their name was the Duggars. It was a joke. Just move on, Evan.
So he got a transition tag, though. He didn't get a non-exclusive franchise tag like everybody else got, which means that he can negotiate with other teams. But if New England matches the negotiation, they instantly take away the offer from the other team.
That's what Lamar Jackson had last year, right? Yeah,
no, Lamar had a non-exclusive franchise tag, which is what everybody else has.
Okay, never mind.
So
see, this is why you're here.
Yeah, the non-exclusive franchise tag means that, which is what everybody else got, means that if you decide that you want to sign them, first of all, you have to give them more money than the team is offering them. And you also have to go two first-round pick, which is why the only people who get exclusive franchise tags are quarterbacks, because if it's an exclusive franchise tag, you have to pay him more because it's the top five salaries from the last year. If it's a non-exclusive franchise tag, it's less because it's the top five salaries average from the last 5 years, not from just the last year. So it's less because obviously you're getting more and more money every year.
Mm-hmm.
So the non-exclusive is slightly cheaper. So that's and since you're giving up two first-round picks, nobody's going to give up two first-round picks for Michael Pittman and pay him more than they're great players, but that's just not going to happen.
So everybody that's been tagged right now has gotten the non-exclusive franchise tag,
except Kyle Duggar.
Who
got the transition tag, which means that if somebody else offers him more money and he decides that he wants to leave, they don't have to give New England anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's a chance that he walks even though they tagged him because some team pays him a ridiculous amount of money, but I think that just means that you're expecting no team to come out with a ridiculous amount of money, which makes sense. Because he's a good player, but he's not quite an all-pro, maybe borderline Pro Bowl. So, you know, makes sense. A
lot of things going on in New England.
Very interesting.
I think team could look very different next year. For their sake, I hope it does. But
I was going to say.
Especially on the offensive side of the ball. But yeah, what else do we got?
Re-signed Mike Evans. 2 years.
Yep.
$52 million?
Yep. 2 year, $52 million.
Big re-signing, first of all, you know, like you said earlier, makes Baker want to come back more. Other than that, I mean, a lot of rumors of him going to other teams, dead. So that's big. I mean, you talked about him on the Chiefs, talked about him. I don't know why people were ever talking about him in the Lions. We didn't need another receiver. Mm-hmm. But I heard about it too, of course. But him on the Chiefs or him on going to some other team, now not going to happen. So one of the best free agents receivers, gone.
Yeah, and how many, he's what, 30? He's in his early 30s, right? He's at least 30 years old. Maybe 31 or 32. Kind of crazy that a guy that late in his career is being talked about. Even at 30, a guy that late in his career being talked about as a top.
Because he's got another 1,000-yard
season. But he's been so consistent. And honestly, I love it just from a standpoint of a guy staying on the same team and staying with the team that drafted him. It's rare.
Yeah, you don't see it very often
anymore. It's so rare in the NFL now with free agency. And I'm all for free agency and guys getting paid and, you know, maxing that out. But there is something nice about a guy just
retiring as
playing,
the team.
Playing his whole career in a place.
Especially a guy who'll be probably a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. And if he has, you know, if he has more good years, he's the kind of guy that you talk about being the greatest Tampa Bay Buccaneer of all time. I know there's some really good players in that conversation. You know, Derek Brooks, John Lynch, Rondé Barber, Warren Sapp. Tom Brady, I don't think, will be in that consideration.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, he did get him a Super Bowl. But, you know, Mike Evans continues to be productive.
Hey, Mike Evans got that Super Bowl, too.
He did. He's one of those guys. So I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the Bucs. I'm glad they were able to get it worked out. One thing I didn't know, kind of more in-depth, the front office there, I think, yeah, like the GM and you know, that front office, their first round pick was Mike Evans. That was their first offseason. So he was, you know, the first guy that they drafted. So, you know, they're obviously
good pick.
Yeah, really good pick. But there's a lot of familiarity there. They've worked together for a long time. And so I think that was a big part of this. Like, hey, let's not end this yet. You're still being productive.
We're getting a band back together.
You're still a really good player. We want to keep you here. You want to be here. So it's a win for continuity, I guess.
So a couple of players to be cut. Number one, Russell Wilson.
It's already official.
It's already official. They're going to cut him as soon as they are allowed to.
It's going to happen on March 13th, I think. He's already sent out the thank yous and the goodbyes. He thanked everybody and everybody in the building. Well, he thanked everybody that he wanted to. He didn't thank Sean Payton. He didn't thank Nathaniel Hackett.
Wow, really?
He did not thank the GM or the ownership either. He mostly thanked his teammates.
And the people in the building.
The people in the building.
Like cafeteria staff.
Maintenance
like
and cafeteria staff, which is nice. I
always appreciate that.
That's a class move, but I still wouldn't touch Russell Wilson with a 10-foot pole.
No, not in any team.
I want nothing to do with him.
The drama that he brings, not because of him like as a person bringing drama, but like because of his whole situation, his contract and everything going wrong. Drama that he brings, I mean, use the word drama. The drama that he brings is not worth how much talent you're getting.
What you're going to get on the field from him at this point in his career.
Yeah.
And he's already gone on I think he was on Brandon Marshall's show talking. This was before the news broke. And so at that time he was saying, ideally it's in Denver. I want to stay in Denver. But he's back on the Super Bowl thing. He's saying he wants to win two of the next five. It's like, man, you haven't been since 2014, 15. It's been a while since he got there. So always optimistic though, Russell Wilson. He's going to be positive, but I really don't. I don't know that I see him as a starter in the NFL anymore. Maybe some team sees him that way. I don't think they do because, I mean, think about it this way. The Broncos are paying him $85 million to not play.
To not play.
For them. That's what they think of Russell Wilson right now. So we may just be seeing the beginning of the end here. He's going to be on a team next year. Somebody will sign him at least as a backup or at least to maybe compete with a young guy if a team drafts a guy. Maybe see him as a mentor. I don't know how he would handle that role.
I wonder how that would go in New England.
Russ strikes me as the kind of guy that he still thinks he's a starter, and I don't think he would just kind of go quietly into the mentorship role.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think he'd want to be a mentor.
I don't know. I think he'd be more like Ryan Tannehill in that sense.
Also to be cut today, announced Jamal Adams, safety.
Really?
From Seattle, which I thought is really interesting because when you saw their depth at safety last year, I don't remember who it was got hurt. I don't think it was Adams. I think it was Love who got hurt. And as soon as you saw the depth at safety, it was rough. So I don't know. I actually think this is a big move. First of all, I mean, yeah, you're saving some money, but this is a big move for a lot of other teams. Because, I mean, he plays in that kind of, I'm going to say the Kyle Hamilton, Brian Branch role where you like to play a lot more in the box.
He's not as good as either of those guys. Yeah,
but
I understand.
But
what you're
play style, he's not great in coverage. Coverage is not his thing.
He's more of a force. Better as a force player.
He's better downhill. Yeah, and he's fine in coverage. Better than most linebackers are. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see who goes after him in free agency.
Yeah, my first thought was, wow, talk about two massive trades that didn't really pan out the way those teams wanted to. Well, Seattle was the beneficiary of the Russell Wilson trade, but remember how much they gave up to get Jamal Adams?
Yeah.
Back when that was a couple first round picks, I think, and definitely didn't get the production out of Jamal Adams that you wanted.
Yeah, from the Jets, right?
Yeah, they traded for him from the Jets.
Yeah, a pair, so it's a two first round picks, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Also, so crazy, a couple players hit free agency. One of the biggest ones people are talking about, Saquon Barkley, pretty much
Yeah.
Not going to be a giant anymore. Almost pretty certain most people are.
It's quite a market for running, or well, it's quite a class
could be.
Of free agent running backs. I think the problem is there's not going to be a huge market for any of them just because they're running backs. But yeah, we're talking about Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry.
Possibly Austin Eckler. Possibly and Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs will be. They didn't tag him, so he's going to have the freedom to go test the market. All of them really good players. Derrick Henry is older, but he's sort of...
It doesn't matter with him. With everybody else, it matters, but with him...
He's kind of broken the rules as a running back where even though he's gotten older and he's gotten a billion carries as a Titan, he hasn't really slowed down. The only reason his numbers were down last year, I would say, is because the Titans' offensive line.
I think he's a little bit slower, but I don't think it's crazy.
He's got to slow down a little bit, but yeah, he's still shown that he's really effective, and it just makes so much sense to me for Derrick Henry to go to the Ravens. Can you imagine?
My gosh.
Derrick Henry.
Well, now that Saquon Barkley's available.
Yeah, what about Saquon Barkley?
Because I mean, Ravens? You talk about like the ability of Derrick Henry as far as like a downhill runner, and then you look at Saquon Barkley and you're like, wow, he's Lamar Jackson, like as far as a running back because of his lateral, you know, movement, and it's like
you the put versatility.
You put the two of them together, and then you can. I would say, obviously, Saquon's a better receiver
than Derrick Henry
is. Yeah. So like you get those kind of options where you're like, okay, we'll run Saquon Barkley as a blocker out, and then Barkley's gonna fake block and just turn around and then catch a ball from a scrambling Lamar Jackson. I mean, like I think the options there in that offense once you get Saquon are just so limitless. Although I do like Derrick Henry to the Ravens too.
The other thing is where everybody's going to talk about that, right? Like, oh, the Ravens should go after one of these big name running backs and pair him with Lamar Jackson.
J.K. Dobbins.
It sounds good to everybody, but the Ravens, they're so smart as an organization. Do you really think the Ravens are the kind of team to spend a bunch of money on a running back?
Probably not.
Especially when they already get good production out of that position every year with guys that nobody else has heard of. You know, like who is Gus Edwards? And Gus Edwards has just been a super effective player for them his whole career there. So it looks good on paper, and as fans, everybody's going to talk about it, but I don't know that the Ravens are the kind of organization that's going to spend big on a free agent running back.
Yeah. One last thing, given Jason Kelce his flowers, congratulations on retirement. I mean, one thing as a center or as any offensive line position, it's all about longevity and starting so many games in a row. Big deal. Really, really like extremely impressive.
It's weird because I've never had a problem with Jason Kelce. Always really liked him as a player when Philly won that Super Bowl and he was up on the parade with the dog hat on and doing all that. That was fun. I liked it. The Kelce saturation has been just a bit much for me. The way you see him everywhere, you see Travis Kelce everywhere, even their mom, you know, last year got in on the mix, Donna Kelce. So I'm just so tired of the Kelces that I didn't even watch his retirement
press conference.
It was long, and I was like, I'm just so sick of the Kelces. I can't do this. So and one,
I like him though better because he's a little bit of a better role model. I think he's probably a good guy.
Probably and like you said, as a player, undeniable. Just an excellent center. He was the anchor of that offensive line. That was
for
always
the tush
good.
Push.
Well, you got to go back to his rookie year. He was snapping to Michael Vick when that offense was really good. They always had a good offensive line. You know, like there was always a good running game from, Shady McCoy to, you know, the Carson Wentz, Nick Foles era when they won a Super Bowl to the teams the past few years. And yeah, Kelce was the one constant and Lane Johnson too. But I mean, yeah, Travis Kelce, offensive line. Great player, probably a first ballot Hall of Famer. So congratulations to him on finishing a great NFL career.
Yeah, you're listening to 101.7 FM, Ready for Hillsdale, Outside Source Football. Thank you so much and have a great day.